Volatility uprising. It's scary out there, man. And Powell isn't making it any better. So we'll talk about what's going on. We got UAL earnings tonight. Is Boeing going to rain on their parade with, well, the stuff that they've been doing seemingly to take them down? I don't mean take them down literally, but you know what I mean. So we'll talk about a couple of things. We'll take a look at what else is going on in the landscape of the markets. But first, welcome to the most dangerous show on the Tasty Live Network, folks. It's Engineering the Trade. I'm your host, Jamal Chandler. And I got my main man, my boy in the house, Josh Fabian. Josh, what's going
on? You talk about Boeing and taking them down in the same sentence, huh?
I did. That's I know. Not it's controversial. Good. I know.
Yeah, I'm not flying with you.
You shouldn't say taking gun down or going down on any flight. I know.
I'm not traveling with you.
I told the line. What do you want me to say?
Not that.
Last night, you reminded me. I totally forgot, man. I was like, it's getting my bearings from being back in town from the show and all that stuff. I mean, I was in town already, but I just, you know, I was working out. I totally forgot about the WNBA draft. Yeah. You hit me to it. You told me the thing that I was so happy to hear. Cardoso and Angel Reese. Look, I love me some Angel Reese. I'm glad she's here.
I am too. I mean, maybe I love him for different reasons. I'm not really sure. We can go into that
later.
Maybe it's the same reasons. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I was so excited to see that. That's going to be, listen, what's going on in women's basketball? We've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
Is fantastic.
It's phenomenal.
It's absolutely phenomenal. And the fact that that's going to carry over, and we get to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could see a transformative period in women's basketball, not too dissimilar from what you saw, like, when Michael came into the league. Not mm-hmm. that I think they're going to be a Michael, but just the game changed.
See, I always liked it. And, you know, I've been making this comparison. I keep making this comparison with Magic and Bird because feel like when you have two people like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark who battled in the semifinal this year, they battled in the final last year, and everybody thinks they hate each other. And maybe they do or maybe they don't. Who knows? Who cares?
They don't.
Just pit them against each other, and people will tune in.
Yep.
And the numbers show. We saw that. People will tune in to see them go against each other.
Absolutely.
Not only those numbers show that, we were looking last night at tickets. Oh, my God. We've been looking today.
We were looking at tickets just before the show started.
It is crazy. And not in a bad way. It's just wild to see, you know, supply and demand, right? Yeah. And the tickets for the game of the Indiana Fever or Chicago here, they're going for some crazy prices. 2,000, 1,000, I mean, depending on where.
Four games. Yeah.
It's wild.
Was it Dallas? Yeah, it was the Dallas game. And I did it to be completely same seats, wheelchair seats, mm-hmm. he's included and everything. It was $36.50 to see Dallas. To go see the Fever, it was 10 times as much.
I mean, so in the numbers you threw out, like last night, I looked up a four pack. It was a four pack that they had on the website, which actually has disappeared since then. the website doesn't even show anymore. But it was four pack of games. One of them was Dallas. But I just looked for floor seats just because you figure, you know, maybe they haven't quite figured it out yet. No, they figured it out.
Oh, yeah.
Floor seats for Dallas was one of those games. Two other games. Of the three games, two floor seats were $589 total.
Mm-hmm.
Two floor seats for the game with the Fever, $2,400.
Yeah.
I mean, already she's outpricing by five the amount. And I know everybody's been harping on salary today about the fact that she makes $76,000, $75,000 for the
match. Hey, listen, that's a CBA. That's a collective bargaining agreement thing that was the best they could get at the time. I promise you, if they keep doing what they've been doing next time around, it's going to be more than $76,000.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And even for as absurdly expensive as those tickets are, I kind of would be willing to pay up.
Yeah. I kind of would too.
I kind of want to see one of those games up close. I want to hear the trash talking.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm very curious. Like, I know as a guy what I would say. And I don't want to say it was like misogynistic, but you probably wouldn't say it as a woman. Like, you know, talking about somebody's mom or their girlfriend or their wife. Like, do they talk about your dad?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I mean, I just kind of want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I saw your dad or, I don't know.
I saw your dad out the other night with my dad.
Yeah.
So I was high.
I know. If you guys are listening right now, write in the chat, write in your best WNBA trash talk. I would love to see it. I would love to hear about it.
Oh, this has a Letterman top 10 written all over it.
It does have a Letterman top 10 written all over it. And then one more thing. You told me, we were talking about this movie last week. You said you watched Young Guns last night?
I did. I sat down.
Does it hold up?
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a great movie. And the cast, listen, the cast you know about that's in it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's aptly named Young Guns for sure. I mean,
oh, yeah, 100% spot on. I think Charlie Sheen had already done Wall Street.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it had just come out.
If he wasn't doing them like so close to each other at the same time, because right. It came out in 88, right? Wall Street came out in 87.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And he was the top billing for the movie, which was interesting because he gets killed so early.
Did Wall Street come out the day of the crash or somewhere around there? Yeah. I heard people say that before.
I don't remember the release date. I want to say I was in 7th or 8th grade.
It was 87, but I think I've heard... Oh, it was December 11th of 87. Okay.
But back to the casting. There's people in it that you don't even realize. I didn't know it.
Until, I didn't know it until you told me other.
And I texted you. I looked something up on it for whatever reason. I texted you and I'm like, did you know Tom Cruise has a cameo in this?
I didn't know that. And I've seen Young Guns a lot.
Yeah, so have I. I mean, I could do that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Grumpy Mike says he hasn't watched the movie since it was released. Really?
That's such a classic.
Dude, oh, you got to watch that. I've said recently, I've seen Young Guns 2 more than Young Guns 1. Plenty of times. Yeah, Young Guns 2 is like, it's like me and my brother's favorite movie. We watched it a lot together. I mean, we love it. It's great. It's great. Let's pull up the platform. Let's take a look at what's going on in markets right now.
Something just happened.
It's been precarious day, although we're moving to the upside now. Yeah. I feel like both times that I've been on air today, markets have done wild things. I was on air earlier when this was, no, not that actually. It was the earlier one. But nevertheless, markets have been moving around quite a bit today. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Obviously, we know why. There's a lot of skittishness. There's two forces that are acting together right now. One is the changing landscape of rate cuts, shall we say.
Yes.
And we'll look at the CME Fed tool in a little bit. And the other one is geopolitical tensions. Where do you land on?
I think there's a third, and that's earnings as well. I think you got to factor that in as well.
Well, what do you mean? We've only had the bank so far. They didn't crush it.
Which is interesting, though. They actually had good numbers. Like, JP Morgan had good numbers on Friday. And
they got rocked.
And they got rocked. So, you know, that's something that I've harped on a bit when we've been on, is that earnings are going to have to carry the day because the rate cut stuff is off the table. I mean, we looked at the CME site right before we came in. July is pick 'em. It's 50-50.
Yeah, could we go to the webpage? Let's look at this CME FedWatch tool right now as we're talking about that. May, everybody's skipping over May as it is. Mm-hmm. June.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, let's go to the website real quick. Just want to show this one little thing. I don't think you should come up either. I'm just going to show you this one thing and then kick you right out. That's you know what that's from?
I'm going to show you this one thing and kick you. No, what
it's
is
from Groundhog Day.
Oh, okay.
She's like, no, I shouldn't come upstairs. He's like, no, I don't think you should come up either. I'm just going to show you this one thing and then kick you right out. Can we pull up the
1 minute?
Oh, okay, cool. It's changed. I mean, meaningfully, especially since last week, right?
Yeah.
Here's June. And the chance of easing is down to 19%. Let's just look.
I can't believe it's that high, to be honest.
I know.
That's just like, can we just concede here?
Look at a day ago, 20%. Look at last week, 56%, right?
Yep.
And a week ago today, we hadn't had CPI, we hadn't had PPI. Right. So, you know, and then a month ago, you could see people were really expecting a June rate cut. Hell, I was one of them. Changed. July. About a coin flip, like you just said a little while ago. I mean, right? I mean, 46% chance of easing, 54% chance of no change. That's a coin flip.
And this was not only a foregone conclusion, but at this point, we were looking at 4.5, 4.75, if you go back to the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
You know, the projections were, it wasn't just about the cut. It was where we'd actually be cutting from.
Mm-hmm. Like probably 4 rate cuts at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's changed meaningfully. And September is where people seemingly are landing now. Mm-hmm.
But this is why I think earnings.
I'm going to clip. I'm going to have them clip the thing from 3 months ago when I was not 2 months ago when I was talking to Tom and Tony.
I know you're talking about exactly what you're talking about already.
on This Week in Stocks, and I said, look, we start losing these rate cuts, the market's going to tank.
Yeah.
They were like, What are you talking about? Go somewhere. You don't know anything about markets. Okay.
Look
where we are right now.
Yep.
Right now. That's all I'm saying.
But to your original question, whatever the hell it was before, and I've already forgotten it, but I know I started talking about earnings. This is why I think, you know, the geopolitical aspect of it, I could go off on a rant on that.
Do it. Do it.
And the only reason I could get away with it is because my family's Jewish, and I could get away with it. But I'm gonna restrain myself and just say that, like, retaliatory strikes that lead to more retaliatory strikes don't ever end. So I don't know, in that sense, I don't know that the risk that anybody even cares right now. I mean, I think that if you look at oil, it's kind of saying this is probably petering out at this level. Maybe heightened tension, but that's probably the extent of the risk. But I just...
You know, let's go back to the platform. What, you know, you bring up a good point, and we don't have to get into the specifics, but we can just talk about geopolitical risk in general, right? Yeah. Like was it last year, 2 years? Damn, how long has it been since Russia, Ukraine? Was that 2 years ago?
Two years ago,
right? You know, these things are serious and they're meaningful. It's interesting to watch how it affects our markets at times, right? Because Russia, Ukraine market really, you know,
oil.
Took the bet. Oil. I mean, it was rough.
Yeah.
And then within a month or two, like maybe within a month, it started to come back.
Yep.
Volatility obviously shot up big time and eventually started to calm down. What do you think is affecting market the most out of all three of those things? The geopolitical stuff, the rate cuts, and earnings, like right now?
I think that if I had to rank them, and maybe I'm biased, would be earnings, rate cuts, geopolitical.
You think earnings?
I can't believe I'm going to give him some credit here. But I'm going to, you know, Tom harps on how efficient the markets are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is why you've seen volatility kind of already. I mean, what's fall down today?
Right here, VIX is in 85 cents. I mean, the front month VIX futures, actual. Yeah.
And I think it's just like, it's so quick to normalize.
$1.32.
And that's why I think that the geopolitical stuff is at the bottom. I think if the geopolitical stuff were at the top of that list, VIX would still be much higher. You making that noise?
No, I don't know what's going on. You're hearing things.
Could be. Age.
I feel like right now it's been. I think the rate cut thing and the geopolitical thing all at once have scared the market. And the reason why I think that is because look at gold. Gold hasn't dropped no matter what. Like, if tensions have calmed down, gold still goes up because they hope we get rate cuts. If the idea of rate cuts get pushed to the side, gold has still been going up. I mean, we're still at 2,400 in gold, and gold really hasn't blinked much yet. That's probably the things that I've been watching the most over these last 2 weeks, bonds, gold, and oil. Literally, that's it.
Yeah.
And those are the main things I've been watching.
Everything else
is just kind of falling in line. Those have been the main things. And like we've seen the days where gold starts going to highs, bonds starts going, oil starts going to highs, market freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that you just can't determine is what bonds are going to do on any given day.
I think bonds, and I said this, I think, last week, too. I think there's this zero boundary at the bottom for bonds. I don't think they can fall too much further. I heard Tom say something this morning about the market is now factoring in a rate cut or a rate hike. I think he's completely insane on that. I mean, I think he's completely insane for a number.
What'd he say?
He said that the market is acting as though they're going to raise rates, which if you just want to look at the market exclusive, bonds are down, rates are up, but no, they're not going to raise rates. I totally disagree with him on that.
I am going to do the same thing you just did a little bit ago. I mean, he might be right. I mean, look at the way they've been moving, though. You know, like they've been moving,
but I don't see them dropping. I think if you get in around this level, around the 114 level, roughly, I got long yesterday at 14 this morning. I traded.
So now you're getting long them too. Damn.
Well, I just scalped it. And I did the short end.
Last week when we were talking, and Victor was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he got so depressed. Bonds.
He was so depressed. And then all around the table, Liz is like, I'm long bonds. Damn.
On Friday. So here's Friday, he texts me and says, I told you to get into bonds. You're such a... He had some choice words for me. I said, bonds, what are you talking about? I said, I just bought up the market when the market had tanked.
Yeah.
And end of the day, he texts me again. He's like, and he's lazy to me. He's like, I waited all day. I knew you were losing money, and I just wanted to tell you who's your dad, all this stuff. I said, hey, listen, last time I checked, there's 4 quarters to this game. So yesterday I made my money in the equities, got out. But I don't want to get too distracted on this. I think that there's a floor in bonds, which is why I don't think you can really look at them in terms of a flight to safety or a leadership. I think that that's gold. And whether that's because of geopolitical risk, whether it's because of earnings risk, whether it's because of interest rate risk, whatever the case may be, gold in and of itself to me right now is like the safe haven play.
Yeah. Gold seems to be the safe haven. That's kind of what we've been noticing more recently. Although oil is staying bid. I don't know if it's the safe haven or if people are just kind of getting along and expecting it to rip because something is going to happen. Maybe. I mean, that's why I'm in it right now. I got an MCL contract.
You're banking.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, these bonds have been. I think there's more than just the few of us we talked about. There's a bunch of people that are probably long bonds right now.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it plays out. David Gallimore is with you, by the way, as you can see in the chat. He also lives 60 minutes from Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Did you buy season tickets is what I want to know. Because
we were talking about buying tickets and selling hats. I would have definitely bought season tickets. Yeah.
Like, I would have definitely bought season tickets if I was them.
But I was in Indianapolis. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd buy season, sell half.
Yeah. It's going to be a thing, man.
Actually, you don't even sell half based on what the tickets are going for.
Yeah. You could easily sell half, no problem, especially there, man. I mean,
half really. For the next 3 years.
Yeah, it's a moment. You should enjoy. UAL earnings are coming up. Do you trade these? Do you trade any of the airlines? I don't usually trade many of them.
And I think we talked a little bit about this before in my whole philosophy on earnings trades. I don't really do them too much anymore.
Me neither.
It's just that. I'm like the whole reason that I would do an earnings trade it's engagement, it keeps you going, and it's fun, right? It's like, you know, it's so quick, but you can get that the zero DT and SPX or something else. So I haven't been doing a lot of earnings trades. I'm actually, from an earnings perspective, I'm just much more interested in seeing how everybody reacts to earnings season.
Or what some of them say, like, for example, as far as an industry, like UAL, what are they going to say? Right. They do have some reliance on Boeing. Obviously, we know what's been going on with Boeing. I'm curious. You almost wonder, how does UAL go up on earnings? I don't necessarily know.
The other thing that's interesting right now is first quarter earnings. You also get the full year outlook from all these companies, which there's a bit of weight. I think there's a added weighting to what they say for full year earnings. I'm looking at UAL right now, and I wouldn't even know which way. I guess I would trade this new.
That's what I mean. I don't know which way I would trade it either. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
No.
What is that? A little more than 5% expected move, 41.35.
The UAL chart and the Boeing chart are identical.
That's what I'm saying, dude. So this is a 7% expected move. Sorry, I was wrong on that. 7% expected move. Yeah, I mean, Boeing looks a little worse, but still, they're pretty identical. I don't know. How do you go up on earnings?
I just don't like the risk. What's the at-the-money straddle? Is what, 290?
Yeah.
292. I don't like that risk.
I mean, things like this, I would do. So all I really do in earnings nowadays is calendars, where this call calendar, put calendar.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did one at MS last night. It worked. I did two other ones. Did not work. UNH did not work. I've been playing UNH on call calendar. I usually play a bigger name like that, too, because if it gaps, you know, it can work for you.
Sure.
I played that last time around, you to the upside, UNH. Did not work because there's a lot going on with that managed care space. So I figured I'd play to the downside yesterday. Did not work. But again, only risks $200, I think it was. It's nothing crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to trade earnings and do it like in sort of a directional manner, okay, fine. You know,
I mean, and again, like that's $200,000 premium. That's less than 1% of my portfolio. Yeah. So I'm okay with trying those every now and again. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. Yeah, I don't even know which way I would play this. I mean, I wouldn't play it for vol. I don't like playing vol and pennies, like in a name like this. Like, even if you just look at the strangle, the 16 Delta strangle, yeah, I nailed it. Yeah. 92 cents. Yeah, it's not enough. It's not enough juice for me to risk. Even though it's $400 debit, don't like it. So again, I would probably play it for direction, but I don't even know what direction to play this
in. And I don't even know that I actually would want to even be short premium in it, to be honest with you, because, and tell me if it's just me, which it often is just me. I know from
the many totally honest, women this travel is coming actually on from my cheap. Life
that it is me, not them. But this feels like a very rich 1780 VIX. Like, mm-hmm. Like, to me, it feels like there's more volatility in this market than 1780 is suggesting. I mean, just look at what happened yesterday. That was a massive move.
Yeah, it was, especially to reverse like that.
Yeah.
Being up and reverse and go down. And we closed through the 50-day moving average.
Yeah.
It feels like there is. If this were not earnings, I'd be worried. I feel like, your point about earnings, I feel like the earnings can prop up the market and it can change the narrative. And I think that's what's keeping us here right now. I would say, if the rest of the, what else do we got for earnings the whole entire week? I know we got Netflix.
Looking something
else. Other major ones. I think Netflix is the most major Netflix one. Like, is, I don't think there's the
is Netflix Wednesday or Thursday?
Let's see. I type in this. I don't think there's like the big tech ones. Netflix is on 2 days from now, so Thursday. Yeah, and the rest of the stuff is next week, like the Microsofts and those in the world. This is actually a week to be a little worried about. Because Netflix is the only big earnings, like I think. Like there's some other ones, but my point is by the time we get to the end of the week and we have expiration, we could sell off.
You know, yeah. I'm just pulling.
Just because it's expiration, things are changing by the end of this week or heading into the end of this week. I think that's something to be aware of at least.
So
CVX. Thank you, Ramon. Yeah. CVX.
Yeah, earnings. I think that this market.
CVX, still, wait, that doesn't have earnings.
CVX or CVS?
CVX, he said. That doesn't have earnings. Were you talking to me, Ramon? Liar. Damn it, Ramon.
Ramon, you're banned.
Doesn't have earnings.
Banned.
Banned.
April 25th.
What's April 25th?
April 26th before the open. CVX.
Oh, CVX, yeah. I mean, CVX earnings aren't moving the market. Microsoft earnings, yes, no. Moving the market.
Next the only earnings that are going to move this market are your magnificent whatever they are at this point. And then I would say there might be some companies within that can affect the economy overall, that if they came out with a massive miss, like if you had like a
UPS or something like that.
Exactly. UPS, yeah. FedEx, something like that.
That's next week as well. Yeah. So next week is going to be the huge week.
Yeah. Some sort of infrastructure, economic infrastructure, stock that it's like, hey, listen, FedEx all of a sudden we're not shipping stuff. Like, okay, that's disconcerting.
Yeah.
But other than that, this market's waiting on NVIDIA. It's waiting on NVIDIA.
It is, yeah. And I think the tech earnings are the real ones that are going to prop up the market. I thought maybe that some of the bank earnings would have done, the JP Morgans, the Goldmans.
Yeah.
Didn't quite happen. And it's their fault we're here right now is really what I'm getting at. I believe we need more.
And I hope that goes viral right there.
If you had 100K to buy either Apple or Tesla, which one would you buy and why?
You can't ask me that because I've got issues with
Elon. I asked Liz that question the other day.
Elon, like, forget his politics aside, just that his ability to say things and cause a stock.
Which one would you buy? Simple question.
Apple.
Why? Because you don't want to buy Tesla?
No, because I think that Apple's going to go, Apple doesn't have any, like, existential threats to it. Tesla does, and it's the CEO. Like, he could say something so ridiculously stupid that the stock responds to it. And it wouldn't be the first time. You know, he did with the 420 funding. You know, he's shown that he can say things, and he has a propensity to do so, that can actually move the stock. And usually the stuff he says moves it higher. But he could say something just so stupid.
It's true.
That it goes the other way. So if I got
to. For some reason, it doesn't really bother me, but it's true. It's true.
Which would you
pick? I asked this question because I was looking at both of them the other day, and obviously you see where stocks have been. And I'm almost sure that if we had asked the same question a year ago, the answer would be different. But I think most people would say Apple now, especially more recently as Apple has come out with some positive. Because honestly, like, Apple hasn't really done anything new, right? And that's one of the reasons why it hasn't been interesting.
In a decade.
But the problem right now with Tesla, besides Elon, is the fact that the EV space, they're struggling.
Yes.
And there's a lot of bad stuff going on around it. And you're seeing some of the weaknesses in the idea of EVs and water and just all these other, and the cold weather and just all this stuff. The gap's been closed.
Yeah.
And you're seeing how they've missed deliveries. Like, that's the biggest thing to me. You can't ignore that. Tesla's has missed deliveries, China deliveries and domestic, and then BYD, which is like the biggest, I believe, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
Chinese company has missed deliveries. So that is the main reason why I don't love buying Apple more, honestly, because, again, like I just said, they haven't really done much new. They popped on the news last week about overhauling their chip lines, but I don't know. I was just curious. I wanted to see what you thought. Liz said Apple. I was talking to Liz the other day. She said, I asked her that question. Apple, she said Apple.
It's just, to me, it's if I'm going to have to buy a stock, I want less volatility. And I think that that's Apple. Whereas Tesla, I just saw a headline this morning that they're pushing back deliveries on the Cybertruck.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
How is that possible?
Or, by the way, both of them are down today. They're the only two that are down out of this.
Year over year, I think it was year over year unit shipments were down substantially. And that, like you saw that, you know, this whole thing that's going on with China where, you know, like they don't want government employees using iPhones. And the telecom sector with getting rid of AMD and Intel chips that are in, that propel the telecom sector, they made, you know, they told telecom companies stop using those chips last week.
Yeah.
So that trade war is something to keep an eye on because it's having an effect. It's, you know, it might be a little bit beneath the surface, but it's certainly having an effect.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think it is. Yes, I mean, you know, I think for the rest of the week, look, I mean, there's a couple of earnings here and there, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to trade a whole lot this week. I think we're in a precarious place. Volatility is elevated. And I'm just going to kind of watch a little bit from the sidelines, I think.
I'm doing a lot of scalping. Like, I just don't want
a It's a good market for that.
Yeah, it's great for scalping. And also, I don't want that exposure for too long of a period of time, so.
Any parting words for the people?
I don't. I didn't know you were going to ask me that. I would have been smart.
That's usually how it goes. You just like kind of just throw it on something. Would come straight to your mind. Not the first thing straight to your mind. Like the second, maybe the third. For you, third thing.
Probably third is the safest.
Yeah, third is probably the safest.
I have nothing.
Okay.
I'm just looking at myself. I can see myself on camera. You can see I lost some weight, can't you?
That is not the parting words for the people. You know what? I'll leave the parting words for the people. we got, I think, Fed Beige Book is tomorrow. A couple of other things. Lots of Fed speakers throughout the week. Hopefully, they don't mess it up. He's Josh Fabian. I'm Jamal Chandler. Thanks for watching, folks. And as always, be smart, be patient, trade small, trade often. Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.